Hallelujah. And we bless you, Master. We bless you. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For we know we are nothing without you. We have tried and failed. And we come to you in the name of Jesus and ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies and your grace. We ask that you wash us with the blood as we repent for all sins, transgressions, and iniquities. And you'll fill us with your Spirit, Master, that you'll open our eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive. Let the anointing break every yoke of bondage as your word goes forth to heal, deliver, sanctify, empower, and impart tonight more of you and less of us. Lord, let the heart, mind, will, desires, image, likeness, and character of Christ be established in each and every one here tonight. As we honor you, the name above all names, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the great I am and our dad, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a wonderful night to die to yourself. Revelation 19. Well, we certainly are seeing a lot more things happen in the world, aren't we? What a sinkhole. Ooh, wow. Three-story house fell right through it and all kinds of stuff. I mean, I'm telling you, God is really getting people's attention. You know, it's amazing what we see, the collapse and the rise, the collapse and the rise. But I'm telling you, the body of Christ is rising. It's rising. Hallelujah. In Revelation 19 and verse 1, please start with me. And after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged her blood of his saints shed by her. Again they said, Hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is a righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you don't do that. I am your fellow servant and one of your brethren who has the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And this is very powerful, because what was they were decreeing and declaring about salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. And he is omnipotent. And true and righteous are his judgments, because judgments had come. And one thing is saying, make yourself ready. And the bride was getting ready. And that's what God is doing right now, getting his bride ready. And the righteous acts of the saints, and that's why they were given linen. And they were given robes of righteousness, or white robes. And one of the things about righteous acts, and I think it's really important right now in the area where God is not only raising us up and preparing us for his return and preparing us for battle, amongst other things, but there are righteous acts of saints that are really acknowledged from heaven. God really acknowledges, and there are certain things that are righteous acts that we've got to begin to look at in this arena. And I would share with you right now that one of the greatest righteous acts that God is imparted in me and you is we are known as restrainers of evil. Everyone said, I'm a restrainer of evil. That is a righteous act. And we're going to talk a little bit about this restrainers of evil, because in this restrainers of evil, the body of Christ is what is restraining evil. And that's one of our acts. That's what we're to be doing, is restraining evil. God is depending on me and you to restrain evil. Go to Revelation 12. Verse 13. Revelation 12, verse 13. Now when a dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood with which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And a dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So you got to understand something, that the serpent, the dragon, the powers of darkness, Satan's kingdom is at war with you. Why? Because you carry the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's at war with you. He's not at war with those who don't carry the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they already serve him and don't know. He's at war with those who carry the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we see that there is an attack, isn't there? In other words, without restraints here, without anybody restraining the enemy, I mean, all hell would be broke out on the earth, wouldn't it? So we see here now that the enemy is attacking the body of Christ. Why? Because you carry the testimony. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Would you read it with me? It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he's looking for someone to devour. And let me tell you, he don't care who he uses. Hello. See, he loves to get believers in the flesh because he can use them. Does everybody understand that? You know, it's amazing how many people don't believe that a believer can have a demon. Well, believe me, I run into them all the time. Jesus cast out devils out of believers. Paul wrote letters to the believing churches warning them about opening the doors to demons, and some of them having demons. So in this, we're to be sober. In other words, awake, vigilant, seeking, looking. Because the adversary, the devil, walks about looking whom he can get to open a door. See, he's trying to get you to open a door to him. The Bible says, make no place for the devil. Well, he who sows to the flesh reaps corruption, because they opened the door to the devil. But he who sows to the spirit reaps life. So it's our responsibility to shut the doors of the devil in our life. The Bible says, make no place for the devil, right? Why? Because he's out trying to seek against the body in every area. And in this, it's our responsibility to keep doors shut. In other words, it says, resist. Go to verse 9. It says, resist him what? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So please understand this, that the attack of the enemy is there. Remember, he is involved in every one of your decisions and your everyday life. He's even involved in your dreams. He loves to get you any way he can. He comes as a familiar spirit, as the Holy Spirit. He comes as an enemy. The Bible says the devil comes as an angel of light. He comes with fear. He comes with deception. He comes with lust. Any way that he can come, he knows every individual's weakness area. He knows every individual's area where he can press a button and the door opens to him. So it's our responsibility to make sure that those buttons are deactivated. Amen? So we must be sober. We must be vigilant. That means consistent. There's an area where we must be consistent. A person that's not consistent is not disciplined. A person that is not disciplined is dangerous. Because a person that's not disciplined relies on feeling. A person that's disciplined has got emotions and feelings underneath their feet. And that's how you can tell. So many people are led in how they feel. I don't feel like it. Well, I just don't feel like it. People who are led by their feelings are the most dangerous people. Because that's all they want to do is live in the soulish arena and not in the spirit. So we must be sober and vigilant, consistent in every area. Why? So that the enemy does not have access to me and you. It doesn't mean he won't come and try. It doesn't mean he's not going to knock on your door. It doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. But it's our responsibility to kick him out right away and shut the door. Is everybody okay? In Psalm 89. The word resist is the area where restrain him. Is everybody with me? So it says resist the devil. So you must restrain him. Psalm 89. Verse 11. 89:11. Would you read it, please? The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all its fullness. You have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon, rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Would you say that again? Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. So we see that righteous and justice are the foundations of his throne. In Psalm 96, starting at verse 1. So do you think we need to walk in righteousness and justice? Amen. In verse 1, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, and sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, and proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name, and bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. So he will judge the world in righteousness and his people with his truth. Is everybody with me? Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. In verse 3, we've heard this plenty of times. How many of you know Jesus is returning? If you don't know, you know now, so tighten up. In verse 3, now as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when all these things will be. And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Of course, Jesus said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be much famines, pestilence, earthquakes, oil spills. In various places. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. And we know that we're already in these already. But one of the things I want to bring up to you is called the, he says, because the disciples wanted to know what the end of the age was. What are the things? Tell us what the end of the age was. And we know that they're talking about the age of grace, or what we call the age of the church. God had restrainers of evil in every age, and there are actually six ages and seven stages. There's six ages and seven stages. There's six ages and there's seven stages of the earth, but there are six ages established on the earth. And I'll share a couple of things, because in every age, God always had restrainers of evil. Is everybody with me? I'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Let's try that one. It might be better. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. Again, I'm going to share with you that there are six ages. Ages meaning times. And there are seven stages of the earth. In verse 6 it says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to what? Nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So you see that there's multiple ages, isn't there? Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they had known, they would have not what? Crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So we see here that it's he speaks of wisdom of God hidden before the ages for our glory, to be found in the Spirit waiting for me and you. Does everybody understand that? That's why, you know, there are so many people that read the Word of God but don't have understanding, because this Word of God was written by the Holy Spirit. And without knowing the author, it's difficult to know, because the Word of God is actually three-dimensional. And as you read the Word in three-dimensional, the Holy Spirit will share with you what dimension or what age he's talking about. Are you listening? Go to Ephesians 3. That's why we got, the only way that you're going to be able to see and hear is by being in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace, which he means the age of grace or time span, of God, which was given to me for you, How that by what? Revelation. How does revelation come? By a spirit. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the what? Same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Here Paul begins to reveal the age of grace and how the revelation was given to him by the Spirit of God. Is everybody okay? Go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 23. Let's read it. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as a high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the end of the what? Ages. So you see there's multiple ages that he had already established before he came. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from the sin for salvation. Now, he just explained right there the age of grace. Because he said that he came once, but he's going to appear a second time. Does everybody understand that? In other words, he just gave the time of grace, the age of grace, that period. Is everybody all right? Again, there are six ages, and this means times, of the earth, and there are seven stages of the earth. And I want to go to Genesis chapter 1. But in every age, God has always established restraints. Not that they all lasted now. Because people became disobedient and so forth, didn't they? And Genesis 1:1. The first age is called the age of creation. And it actually has three stages of the earth in the first age of creation. And we'll explain that. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So what did he create first? Time. Right? In the beginning he created time, right? And then he created the heavens, which is the what? Spiritual. And then the earth, which is the physical. Now, when God creates something, does he mess it up? No. The earth, and then verse 2, it says, the earth was without form. So we know that the first earth that was originally created was called the original earth. Is everybody with me? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Here we see right now that the first earth that God created was basically the original earth. And in it, it was inhabited by angels. God made things perfect, didn't he? It was the original perfect earth. Now, Lucifer was a praise and worship leader of the universe. Are you with me? So, the earth was inhabited. It was actually known as the mountain of God. The earth was known as the mountain of God through the universe. And Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of the universe. He covered the universe with praise to God. And in verse 2 it says, now the earth was without form. Well, something happened. God had to restrain Lucifer. But before we go back to that, I want to go somewhere else. Let's go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. In verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? Son of man, take a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God. You'll find out that he's not talking because this is Ezekiel who was prophesying, but you got to remember it's three-dimensional. He was not speaking literally about a king of the natural. He was talking about an anointed cherub called Lucifer. He said, you were the seal of perfection, because there was no man a seal of perfection, was there, except for Jesus. Full of wisdom and beauty and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, so he says that you were in the Garden of Eden. So you know that he's speaking of something of past. Every precious stone was your covering. Why? Because he was there. He was the ruler of the earth at that time. He was on the mountain of God, and he was proclaimed with all the precious stones because he saw God create the earth. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, braille, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. So he was an instrument of praise. God breathed through him. And music went out through the earth to the universe. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You are the anointed cherub who covers. Well, a king's not an anointed cherub. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God, which was the earth. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones because he was there when the earth was created. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Does everybody see that? So on this, we see that Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of the universe. The mountain of God was the earth. Now I want you to go to Isaiah 14. Again, we're talking about the first age, which is known as the age of creation. But in the age of creation, there's actually three stages of the earth. Because God originally created the earth, right? Perfect. The original earth. In verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's read it. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will what? Ascend into the what? Heaven. So to ascend into heaven means you had to be below it. So he was a praise and worship leader of the earth, of the universe, but he was on the earth. And the earth was inhabited with angels. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. See ya. Said, you're out of here, homie. Because this is what my dad's response was. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which is hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Remember that. He will be brought down to the lowest depths of the pit. Now go to Genesis 1:2. So God originally created the earth. He created the angels to maintain the universe. And then in verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. Well, who is darkness? Lucifer. Has everybody got it? And where was he on the face of the deep? Just like the Lord said. Oh, you have fallen, O Lucifer. And he removed him and put him on the deep. Now, one of the things that happened, this is what we call a chaotic earth, because the Lord, to restrain evil, shut down the earth. This is what people might call the ice age at that time. So the original earth was made perfect. It was the original. God created it. We're still talking about three stages of the first age, which is known as the age of creation. So the first stage was the original earth God created. The second stage was the chaotic earth that God shut down and he restrained Lucifer. Is everybody with me? Now it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we know now that the Spirit of the Lord was going to restore the earth. In fact, the word let there be light means restore. It does not mean create. So God restored the earth. Now Lucifer was still sentenced to the earth, wasn't he? He was restrained to the earth. Now God did something awesome here because then he created Adam and Eve, didn't he? And he created Adam and Eve, and what did he do? He put them in the garden. So all of this is a part of the first age with three stages. Is everybody okay? So we see here that there was a restraint. God was always restraining. And Lucifer was locked up. He was on the earth. He was in the garden. And Adam and Eve fell to Lucifer or Satan's deception. And Satan regained control of the earth again. Are you listening? And God attempts to restrain Satan with what we call the next stage or the next age. Now again, the first age was known as the age of creation. And it also was a part of the three stages of the earth because God was still creating. Remember, he created man, he created the animals, but he was restoring the earth that was from its original state, wasn't it? So then when God created Adam and so forth, and then Lucifer was restrained, but then Satan tricked Eve and Eve deceived Adam. Now the earth became fallen again. Because why? Because it was under the rule of Satan. And it's been fallen ever since. Are you listening? But there was an age. Now it was known as what we call the age of conscience. And in that period of time, there was an age of conscience where he spoke to the individual's conscience for a period of time. Go to Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. In verse 1, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, these were Satan's angels. These are what we call the fallen angels who put on flesh. And that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of whom they chose. And these men were known as renowned men. This is where the Greek mythical philosophy and theologies came about, what they called Zeus and so forth, because these were angels and they carried power. And the Lord said, my spirit will not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of men came into the daughters of men and they bore children, those were offsprings to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. So we see something that happened here. This was known, in other words, the age of conscience, are you with me, extended all the way from the fall of Adam, all the way continuing, all the way through. And then what did the Lord do? He flooded the earth, didn't he? And he destroyed it. And he went all the way to Moses, to now we started the age of the law. So the age of conscience went all the way to the age of the law. Would you mind going to Galatians 3? Is everybody all right? Are you following? So God used the conscience, are you listening, to help restrain evil. And you know, even during that part, it's amazing because even though God destroyed man in the flood and then Noah found land and they started all over again, even it went all the way even to the Tower of Babel, where God had to finally change their language to scatter them because they were still trying to exalt themselves. And then we ended up into the law, the age of law. So in Galatians chapter 3, now the law was also used to restrain evil. Does everybody got it? Is everybody there, Galatians 3, in verse 19? Would you read it with me? What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of what? Transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of the mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for only one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the what? Law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Is everybody with me? So we see here that during that period of time, the law was put into place. It was called the age of the law. That was to restrain evil. Of course, they used war also to restrain evil. In that period of time also, not only was the law established, but the seven feasts of the Lord were established, so that there would be tradition or representation of God's visitations or events that would happen. So they were practicing the seven feasts at time, and the purpose of these things was also to restrain evil. In John chapter 1. So the first age was the age of creation. The second age is the age of conscience. The third age was the age of the law. In John chapter 1. In verse 14, and in every age there was something that God utilized to restrain evil. Not that everybody obeyed him, but he always made it available. And the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So we see here now that the age of grace has come with Jesus. So now we're in with the age of grace. In fact, now we talk about his death, which was the birth of the church, was established on the Feast of Pentecost. So we see how that they paralleled with one another. Okay, so now we know that the birth of the church was established on Pentecost, associated with the age of grace, to restrain evil by the anointing of the body of Christ. So now the body of Christ is placed on the earth to restrain evil. Everybody say, I'm a restrainer of evil. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Verse 13. And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, you are the anointed one and his anointing. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, Peter got revelation. And I also say to you, Peter, on this rock or on this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he was talking about building the church with the anointing. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So he was giving them the keys to restrain evil by binding and loosening. But those backed by the anointing. So we see the church was built by the revelation that Jesus is the anointed one. And his spirit, the spirit of Christ. And those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, not water, will carry the anointing and hold back or restrain the evil by binding and loosening. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now understand that during this period of time, we are still under the fourth stage, okay, which is the fallen stage. And this stage will end with war. Of course, there will be war from heaven. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 1. Let's read it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, that the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And a man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who is Satan, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of the lawless one is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. He represents here the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, who is in the body of Christ, who is now restraining evil. But once we are taken out of the way, all hell is going to break out. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will what? Consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they might be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So we see here the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the body of Christ restrains evil. And once it is taken, once we are removed from the earth in fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets, that will be the end of that age. Are you with me? It will be the end of the age of the body of Christ. It'll be the end of the age of grace. And then, of course, we know then the Feast of Atonement will come, which is Armageddon. So we know that war will end, in other words, the age of grace again will end up with war, because we will return with the Lord in the Feast of Atonement. And then 5 days after Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles will start. And that will be known as the Kingdom Age, because we will reign on the earth for 1,000 years, and it is the age of the kingdom of God on earth. Go to Revelation 20. And that will also start a new stage of the earth, because in that 1,000 years when it begins, it will be known as the millennium stage, or the stage of peace on earth. And Revelation chapter 20. Is everybody there? Six ages, seven stages. In verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him, what? 1,000 years. There he was restrained again. Hallelujah. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on it so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years was finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So again, we see here that Satan was restrained in the pit for 1,000 years. And that was the start of the kingdom age. But after the 1,000 years, in verse 7, now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. And he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as of the sand of the sea. Again, Gog and Magog here also represent two demonic forces that the armies of natural realm cannot defeat. God is the only one that can defeat them. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So again, the end of the age of the kingdom, after the 1,000-year reign on the earth, will again end in war, but God will destroy them. And as he calls fire down on the powers of darkness, ending the kingdom, he will also burn up the whole earth. He will destroy the whole earth. And that will end the millennium stage of peace. It will again end in fire. And the sixth stage will be destruction. It will be destructive stage, where God will destroy and burn up the earth right along with the powers of darkness. Go to Revelation 21. And in verse 1. So we see here now then, after he does this, we will enter in what we call the eternal age or the perfect age. Go to verse 1 in Revelation 21. And now I saw what? A new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Hallelujah. There'll be no more grumbling or complaining, no more pain, no more garbage. Hallelujah. For the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexual, immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we see here again there that there are six ages, and in every age, God has a way of restraining the devil. And we are right now in the age of grace, but it's the fallen stage of the earth. Because Lucifer, Satan, still rules the earth. And it's our purpose, part of our purpose, to restrain the powers of darkness. So it's not just to show up at church and get a goosebump. It's not to just go get a blessing and see who's got the most toys. Oh, God bless me the most. Look at all I got. No, that's not what it's about. It's about restraining evil. Go to Ephesians 4. You know, the Bible says that's why Jesus was manifested, right? To destroy the enemy. In verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You know, so many times we just look at the function in the body of Christ, but there is one corporate function of the body of Christ, and that is to restrain evil. So walk worthy of your calling for which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Almost sounded like he was Southern, wasn't it? In you all. Thanks, God. Must have been the southern part of Israel. Well, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended, hallelujah, in the lower parts of the earth, took the keys of Satan, and preached to the dead, the spirits that were dead. He who also descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. I'm telling you, far above all the heavens. You know, so many times we can't comprehend it. That it's very possible. It's not even in the universe. We look at the universe as huge. But a gazillion galaxies and a gazillion planets. Well, you got to understand it. He's eternal. The universe is not eternal. The universe was taken a chunk out of eternity and called the universe because Jesus is the beginning and the end. So he took a chunk out of eternity, called it the universe, placed, created time, had a beginning and an end to this universe, while he stands out of the universe in an eternity. Is everybody okay? He's a big dad. He's not in the universe. I understand this. But and yet he is, but it says that he ascended way above the heavens. In other words, he was gone, man. Remember, everything was created for him, in him, and through him. So in him is the universe. Does everybody understand it? So he stands out of the universe for the universe to be in him. Because he's eternal. He's hanging out in eternity. He's not hanging out. He's not bound by space and time. But our peanut brain is difficult to comprehend because everything associated in this life of the universe has a beginning and end. You know, I know everybody wants to go home and say, where did you come from? Because we want to ask that question because we only know beginning and end. Because we came, but he never came. He was always there. How do you explain that to somebody? You just can't. You just can accept it and wait till you get home in the eternity. Amen? Praise God. Verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the what? Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, or what he means, the anointing, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up or progress or mature in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In other words, we are being trained up. We are being equipped. We are learning how to restrain evil. There are 8 things that God is equipping us to do. And I'm just going to share them, so just write them down. The first thing we know that we are being equipped to restrain evil. We are to be defenders of righteousness and justice. We are to be exposers of deception. This is why we're getting equipped. We're to be attackers of the high places of Satan's altars. This ain't no couch potato. Don't tell me you're to be a channel chaser, all right? 5, we're to be establishers of truth. We are to be promoters of divine order. We are to be carriers of eternity by the anointing. And we are to be enforcers of light in a dark world. So there are 8 things that we are being equipped for ministry. We are being trained up to be restrainers, defenders, exposers, attackers, establishers, promoters, carriers, and enforcers. Restraining evil. That's why it's important for Revelation. It's important for Revelation. I want to go to Proverbs 29. Do I need to repeat those? Restrainers of evil, defenders of righteousness and justice, exposers of deception, attackers of the high places of Satan's altars, establishers of truth, promoters of divine order, carriers of eternity by the anointing, and enforcers of light in a dark world. Now you know your calling. At least what you're being equipped to. But I thought I was called to be a nurse. Yes, but here's what you're being equipped to. So go to the hospital and restrain some evil. Expose, defend, attack. Hello? If everybody did their part, there'd be a lot more advancement. See, one of the things the devil wants you to do, let me tell you, you got to remember, he is a serpent. He's the most cunning beast there is. He wants to always draw you back into the world where you just step in a puddle. Because see, once you step on the puddle, you are contaminated. Once you step on that puddle, man, that's all he wants you to do is listen to some music from the past. He wants you to look at the things of the past. Start dressing like you used to. Whether it be street bound, gang bound, or perverse bound. Because once you start touching those things, you start acting like them. Why? Because you just stepped in that puddle, man. And you just open the door to the devil. And you can't restrain him because you can't resist him because you must submit to resist. See, there is a specific arena God is bringing the body of Christ to. Because many will not be able to restrain. They'll be looking for help. People that have been believers for years still looking for help. Because they won't be able to pull out their sword. It's too contaminated. Gotten rusty now. Can't even pull it out of the doomahickey. Because they don't have the strength. Because see, without the anointing, you can't pull it out. You'd be quoting every scripture there is. You can memorize the page numbers, but you ain't pulling this baby out. Because that's called the sword of the Spirit, and it's backed by the anointing. And that's why we must be in divine order for the anointing to flow. Proverbs 29. And verse 18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. That's why we need to be in spirit to get revelation. Without revelation, people begin to just cast off restraint. They no longer restrain themselves, nor can they longer restrain the enemy. Where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. I'm sharing with you that we are in an intense time. It is important. Why did God rescue us? Why? Believe me, he doesn't rescue us for our glory. He rescues us for his glory. You got drafted in the military. Your number was picked. So, in this, we must be restrainers of evil. We must be defenders. We must be exposers. We can't get soulish. Oh, you hurt my feelings. Oh, die. I'm telling you, this violent move of God, now hold fast, because I've seen this come before. And I've seen it happen, and I've seen people go home because they were in the way. Look at what happened to the believers, Ananias and Sapphira, when they hailed back money and they stood before Paul. Paul said, "Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit?" We ain't got time for this. See, you're either sold out or you're out. We are getting at a point, and you're going to see soon, people that ain't right and they're in a way, they're going home. Because God's going to have to rescue them before they die and go to hell. Are you listening? But there is a violent move of God being established on this planet through the body of Christ. That's why we're being trained up. And many will run to those whose light's shining. The light is on and somebody is home. Because their light's off, and nobody's home. Well, it's probably occupied, but it's occupied by the wrong thing. There's no vacant sign, let's just say. But it's at a critical time right now. It's not about building our house, it's about building the kingdom. It's an area where coming to the end of self. Again, if you're struggling and you're frustrated and confused, it's because you're in the flesh. Because that can't happen in the spirit. If you're oppressed, down and out, and discouraged, it's because you're in the flesh. Because that can't happen in the spirit. Because in the spirit, the anointing breaks every one of those things. But it's amazing how the enemy will just creep right in and you people just touch and agree. Yeah. That's me. Next thing you know, they're running from God instead of running to Him. And the only thing that they're getting filled with is popcorn and chips and flesh and not the Spirit. See, if you're in the Spirit truly, you don't react, you respond. There's a difference. You have clarity where you discern what's offensive and what's a stumbling block? You know. You don't ignore those things. You take heed to those things because you want to please Him, not yourself. You want to please Him. Again, we're to be restrainers, defenders, exposers, attackers, establishers, promoters, carriers, and enforcers. In other words, we need to be armed and dangerous and be ready in season and out. Stop fighting for your life and fight for the presence of God. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray that the seed will grow and bear fruit and get rooted tonight. And great conviction would be established to change a hardened heart, a mindset, or stronghold. That we can walk in divine order. That we may be fully equipped as servants of the Most High God. And bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.